It was a beautiful sunny day when I got to Red Rocks last Wednesday. But the forecast sounded ominous, 30% chance of rain. Well, you've been in Colorado for some time, I'm sure, and you know that 30% chance can turn to 100% chance very quickly. So I brought my raincoat and I brought an umbrella. It was super hot though. And once I got there, I had to sit in line for probably 45 minutes. It took me longer to get from where I got pulled off to go to Red Rocks than it took me to get from my house to Red Rocks. It was crazy long. And so I'm thinking, you know, it's hot. It's probably not going to rain. I'll leave my raincoat in the car. Yeah, you know what happened, right? You remember Wednesday night. Well, but I thought, you know, no big deal. I've got my umbrella. So I brought my umbrella. I get up to the gate, and I'm making my way through, and the guy said, oh, I'm sorry, you have to leave that umbrella there. I said, why? He said, you could use it as a weapon. I guess I have that look. So I left my umbrella there, and I went in to the concert. The first three acts came off without a hitch. Jeremy Camp gets up to do his thing. Two songs into it, they call a lightning intermission. That means, and they were saying over the loudspeaker, everybody go back to your car. Well, my car is more than a mile away. And like any obedient Christian, I didn't go back. Everybody was looking for shelter someplace. And we were, you know, kind of finding our way to wherever dry spot we could find. It was really interesting, though. I've been to lots of different concerts, love music. And when you go to a Christian concert, oftentimes different things happen that wouldn't happen any other time. And while we were huddled together, people were singing worship songs. And it just turned into a worship time of worship. But what made it even more incredible was God put his power on display for us. If you remember Wednesday evening, it was a lightning show like crazy. And lightning lit up from one end of the sky to the other. And it was just beautiful. It rained, the wind blew. We got through the storm, knowing that God was with us as we went through that storm, even though lightning strikes could have happened near us. The wind was blowing. The rains were coming down in buckets. But because we hung in there, we made it through the storm, God blessed us. Jeremy Camp came back out, finished his setup, and then Mercy Me started off their set before they even sang a song with just this computer-generated voice and words on the screen. And they wanted to introduce a brand new song, but they knew nobody would know it. And so they started off with just a word. And we sang that word together. This computer-generated voice led us in singing this word together. It's the word grace. And then God showed up. I think there was just an amazing touch of His Spirit during that evening. For me, anyway. Because music is so important to me, and I love all different kinds of music, but this song really struck me. Listen to these words. It's the blue of the sky. It's the beacon in the night. It's the calm within the thunder and the rain. It's the end of all my shame. It's the love that knows my name. It's a peace beyond all understanding. Grace, grace. It always sets me free without ever letting go of me. Grace. Every time the Father runs to the one who can't run fast enough, that's grace. It's the end and it's the start. Oh, it meets us where we are. It's the gravity that pulls us to your heart. It's the source of all our worth. It's the author of new birth. It's the genesis of all the universe. Grace. God's grace is so amazing. I had never heard that song before, and I felt like God was trying to say something to me. Now, God gives us grace when we come through the storms. Isn't that just the way God is? You go through something difficult in your life, and you hang in there, and then God shows up. The storms can be unsettling. They test our resolve. They make us doubt what we know to be true. And it reminded me of a phrase that I heard years ago that I believe the psalmist in Psalm 89 wants to drill deep into our hearts and souls. The phrase is simple. Never doubt in the dark what God told you in the light. Never doubt in the dark what God told you in the light. Turn to Psalm 89. And I'm going to show us three steps to take to never doubt in the dark what God told you in the light. Page 412, if you're using one of the Bibles in the pew in front of you. God's loving faithfulness is the theme of this psalm. Seven times the word love is used in this psalm. Six times the word faithfulness is used in this psalm. Now, when the ESV translates love, it doesn't just translate love, it translates steadfast love. Because the word that's used here is used of the loyal love that God has for the people with whom he's in covenant with. He wants us to know that he is with us no matter what. When the storms are raging, God is with us. When the storms are crashing down on us and the water is coming down in buckets and the lightning is lighting up the skies and the thunder is rumbling deep in your soul, it feels like, God is saying to us, I am with you. I am faithful to you. I'm faithful to my word. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Never doubt in the dark what I told you in the light. Now, this psalm was written by Ethan the Ezrahite. It's the only psalm he wrote. We don't know a whole lot about him, but he's got a cool name. And Ethan has some things that he has learned about God by probably watching or hearing about, at least, King David and what God had been doing in his life. Look at verse 1. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known to all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. This is a song that he wrote, that he wanted to make sure that everybody knew that God was faithful. And his love reaches to the heavens. His love reaches to the depths. In other words, there's not a place you can't go that God's love won't find you. God is faithful to you if you are in covenant with him. Ethan will not just teach us that, but he'll teach us something that I think is really critical for us to keep in mind in how we relate to God when we question his loving faithfulness. Anybody here ever wonder if God really knows your name? If God really was faithful to you? If God really loved you? I have. And so this hits right where we live. Ethan reminds God of the covenant he made with David as an example of God's loyal love and faithfulness. Verse 3. You said, I made a covenant with my chosen one. I've sworn to David my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm throughout all generations. Israel was at peace at this time, probably. David was comfortably established in his palace. I misspoke there. I don't mean to say that Israel was at peace when this was written, when Psalm 89 was written. I mean to say that Israel was at peace when David said what I'm about to say that he said in 2 Samuel 7. So he's at peace with all the people around him, and he turns to his trusty friend Nathan the prophet, and he says, Here I am living in a palace of cedar while the ark of God remains in a tent. And he says, I want to build God a house. And Nathan says, look, God is smiling with you with favor. So whatever you have in your heart, do it. Nathan turns and he heads out of the king's brand new cedar palace. And God speaks to him and says, go back. Go back. I have a message for David. He's not going to be the one that's going to build the temple for me. So this is what we read in 2 Samuel chapter 7. The Lord declares to you, David, that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken away from him as it was taken away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established. When God loves, he loves forever. There are four things we're going to learn about God's faithfulness. The first of those things is that God's love demands his faithfulness. When God says he loves you, he's saying, I will be faithful to you. I will always be true to you. Even if we are faithless, God promises he will always be faithful. But to love without the ability to show your love means that you can't back your promise up. Your promise is empty. But God's promises always come true. His promise to establish David's line forever has been fulfilled in the one and only Son, Jesus Christ. It's already been fulfilled. Many of his promises have already been fulfilled. Jesus is, according to Revelation 5, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He's the one who's triumphed. Of Jesus, in this scene in Revelation 5, there are four incredible angels and 24 elders who are seated together. And they sang this song, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men and women for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them into a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. And then an innumerable number of angels encircled the four living creatures and the 24 elders, and they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. One of my very favorite worship songs is the most pretty contemporary one, the one we just sang. Is he worthy? It's a song that they sang right now around his throne, that he's worthy. And it's a song that angels and all of us will sing as we gather to worship and praise God throughout all of eternity. He is worthy. He alone is worthy. And so the first thing the psalmist is telling us will help us never forget in the dark what we learned in the light is to praise God for who he is, what he's done, and what he will do. Now, it's one thing to talk big and promise that we'll be faithful. But God's faithfulness, and this is the second thing to learn about faithfulness, God's faithfulness is evident all around us because he is all-powerful and nothing can stay his loving hand. So the next several verses just rattle off different ways that God's faithfulness are recognized by others. First of all, the heavenly hosts bow down to his power. Verse 5, the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. O Lord Almighty, who is like you? You, You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds us. The raging seas obey him. Verse 9. You rule over the surging sea when its waves mount up. You still them. Now, I wonder if these words were going through the minds of the disciples. Remember that time when Jesus is asleep in the boat and this huge storm comes and the boat is rocking and rolling and everybody's getting drenched? And these men, many of them, were lifetime fishermen, were terrified. They wake him up and they say, "Don't you care that we're going to die?" You ever feel like that? You ever feel like the storm is just raging and you're falling apart? And if Jesus were there, you would say, "Don't you care?" You know what? Don't hold back. Say that to him, because that's when he shows up. But remember what he said to the disciples? Nothing. He looked at the sea and he said, "Shut up. Peace be still" is the nice way of saying it. Go do something worthwhile with yourself, right? I wonder if they had that in mind. As can you imagine what it was like? It would have been awesome on Wednesday night as the thunder was going across the sky and the buckets were coming down if Jesus had just said, "Shh." That would have been cool. I'd love to see that someday. Love to see something like that. But the raging seas bow to his power and to his authority. The most powerful nations on the earth tremble before him. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. These words are really interesting because in them the word Rahab, you know, we kind of think of the person Rahab, right? But the actual term means pride or tumult. And it's used in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 7 of a very particular nation, Egypt. And what he's referring them back to was this huge storm that the Israelites were faced with. They had the Egyptian army behind them, and they had the Red Sea in front of them. And there was nowhere for them to go. And they were crying out to God in terror, not in faith. And God showed up in a powerful way, and he humiliated the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. They bowed to him even though they did not recognize him and even though they did not want to. God defeated them without one Israelite engaging one Egyptian. He did it himself. All creation, verse 11 tells us, shouts God's praise. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the earth and the north and the south, Tabor and Hermon. Sing for joy at your name. Your arm is endued with power. Your hand is strong. Your right hand is exalted. We saw God's great power and his divine nature on display Wednesday night. He stopped the best laid plans of people, this organized thing that we had going on called a concert, and he stopped it in its tracks. And then in his time, he started it back up. So also, God's faithful people rejoice in his righteousness. Verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learn to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness, for you are their glory and strength. And by your favor, you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. There's so much cool imagery there. I'd encourage you to check it out, because we won't be able to go in hardly any depth, because there's 52 verses in the psalm, and we're going to try to touch each of them. Third thing you need to know about God's faithfulness is God's salvation is the result of his faithfulness. God saves you and me because he's faithful. It's because he's faithful, not because we're faithful, because honestly, most often, we're not. If God were not faithful, we would all be in major trouble. God raised up, this part of his faithfulness, a chosen son. Verse 19, once you spoke in a vision to your faithful people, you said, I've bestowed strength on a warrior. I have exalted a young man from among the people. David was hand-selected by God. The people had chosen Saul. They got the king they deserved. God chose David because he was looking for a man after his own heart. He wanted a king whose heart beat in sync with his own. And so he chose David. Verse 20. I found David, my servant, with my sacred oil. I have anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely my arm will strengthen him. No enemy will subject him to tribute. No wicked man will oppress him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down his adversaries. My faithful love will be with him. And through my name, his horn will be exalted. I will set his hand over the sea, his right hand over the rivers. He will call out to me, you are my Father, my God, my rock, my Savior. And God's commitment to David lasted beyond the lifespan of the common king. So what we begin seeing happening here is that God is not just talking about David or his line. He's talking about a specific one in David's line. Verse 27. I will also appoint him my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. I will maintain my love for him forever. My covenant with him will never fail. I will establish his line forever, his throne as long as the heavens endure. And then I love this. If his sons forsake my law and do not follow my statutes, if they violate my decrees and fail to keep my commands, I will punish their sin with a rod, their iniquity with flogging, but I will not take my love from them. Nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, and I will not lie to David, that his line will continue forever, and that his throne endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky. God, when God loves, he loves forever. And God chose David. God always is going to have a future for Israel and for David. And it's going to come through ways that we wouldn't expect. They wouldn't expect. We know now. But the interesting thing happens now. Ethan does something that takes a lot of gumption. He's told us, first of all, praise God for who he is, what he's done, and what he will do. He just finished telling us, pray God's promises back to him. These are the promises that I've given you. Pray them back to God. But the third thing happens with Ethan calling God out. He started off by praising God for who he is and what he's done, all the promises he made. Then he prayed those promises back to God, and now he calls God a liar. Verse 38, but you have rejected, you have spurned, you have been very angry with your anointed one, you have renounced the covenant with your servant, and you've defiled his crown in the dust. You have broken through all his wrath and reduced his strongholds to ruin. All who pass by have plundered him. He has become the scorn of his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his foes. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have turned back the edge of his sword, and you have not supported him in battle. You have put an end to his splendor and cast his throne to the ground. You have cut short the days of his youth, and you have covered him with a mantle of shame. It seems like God had broken his promise. But then Ethan introduces an element that is really critical for us to keep in mind when we're thinking about how God keeps his promises. That element is time. Verse 46, "How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn with like fire? Remember how fleeting is my life. For what futility you have created men. What man can live and not see death, or save himself from the power of the grave? O Lord, where is your former great love, which is your faithfulness, which in your faithfulness you swore to David?" God makes a promise that we know will come true, but we can't see the big picture. Oftentimes, we don't know how God is going to bring it to pass. We can just rest in the truth that he will bring it to pass. Which brings us to the third thing we need to know about God's faithfulness. God's timing reveals his faithfulness. His timing is not our timing. His ways are not our ways. But we can trust him to do exactly what he says. Ours is to pray, to wait, and to trust God. Verse 46. Excuse me. We already read verse 46. Verse 50. "Remember, Lord, how your servant has been mocked, how I bear in my heart the taunts of all the nations, the taunts with which your enemies have mocked, O Lord, with which they have mocked every step of your anointed one." He brought his complaint to God, and he prayed, and he waited. And he waited for God to do what only God could do. We know who he is. We know what he's done. We know the promises that he's made, many of which he's already kept. Often, we find ourselves living in this tension between God's heart-swelling, song-inspiring promises and the darkness of our day. Some would call the Maybe you've experienced something like the dark night of the soul, where it may not necessarily be dark outside, but there's something going on inside of you. In either of those times, God says to us, "I want you to remember who I am. Remember my promises. Pray them back to me. Cling to them. Cling to me during those times." The most important time to believe that God always keeps his promises is when it seems like he's forgotten to keep his promises. Never forget in the dark what God told you in the light. I don't know about you, but I've experienced times of doubt, times of fear, times of anxiety. Honestly, the anxiety got to be so bad, I went to see someone and talk about it. I don't know if you can relate to that, but God can. And God says to you and to me, "You can trust me. Remember who I am. Remember what I've done and what I will do. Remember my promises. Pray them back to me." There are times when it seems like God is far away. There are times when we pray diligently for someone to be healed, and they're not. We pray for a marriage to be restored, and it's not. We pray for a job or a spouse. And maybe you can relate to a friend of mine. I had this friend like 40 years ago, but his words still keep ringing in my mind when I go through difficult times. This is what my friend Richard used to say. "Ah, the big guy must be otherwise occupied." Bart Miller, the lead singer of Mercy Me, had a friend who was deconstructing their faith. You're familiar with this term, I assume. To deconstruct your faith is to begin as a Christian and then just pick away at it. Doubt everything that you believe. Throw it all away. Now, many people deconstruct their faith only to come back with a stronger faith. Because sometimes the things that we learn when we're younger in our faith aren't quite accurate. And we need to jettison those things to have a stronger faith. But that wasn't the case, evidently, for this friend of Bart Millard and the rest of the folks from Mercy Me. And he talked about a song that I had heard on the radio, but I really hadn't paid attention to it. I just kind of thought it was kind of had a cool tune, and it's not normal for me. Normally, I'll pull the lyrics out and figure it out, but this one had lost the impact on me. It's a song that he wrote called "To Not Worship You," and it came as a result of him processing his friend deconstructing his faith and the questions it brought up for him. He says, "I'm losing sight of all that matters, blinded by questions I can't answer. I'm paralyzed by what I don't know. Doubt holds me hostage and won't let go. Breathe out, breathe in, raise my hands, and remember. You're the one who makes mountains move. Stars will not shine unless you tell them to. You conquered the grave to make all things new. So who am I to not worship you? Remind me who I am because of you. Tell me I'm not the man I once knew, because I still feel so undeserving. What could you see in someone like me? You're the one who makes mountains move. Stars will not shine unless you tell them to. Conquered the grave to make all things new. Who am I to not worship you?" Praise God for who he is, what he's done, what he will do. Pray God's promises back to him. And when God feels distant and it seems like he has forgotten his promises, promises he made to you, promises that you hold dear, cling to those promises. Cling to God's promises. And God will enable you to never doubt in the dark what God told you in the light. Let's pray together. God, you know each of our hearts. You know the hurt, you know the pain, you know the struggles, you know the doubts, the anxieties, the fears, the questions we can't answer that hold us captive, the things we just don't know. God, thank you that you meet us there. Thank you that you inspired Ethan to write this psalm thousands of years ago so that we could sing his song again and we could resonate with the beating of his heart and his anxiety and his concern. Thank you, God, for meeting us right where we are. I pray, God, that you would help each of us to open our hearts and minds to you right now, to let you speak to us, to let you minister to us, to let you bring health and healing and comfort. Whether it's through your spirit or through a brother or sister who we have a conversation with and pray with. Thank you for your word that tells us that if we confess our faults to one another, bring our questions and concerns to one another, and we pray for each other, there can be healing for our souls. Thank you for the Spirit who lives inside of us, and the Spirit who draws those who are not yet Jesus, sons and daughters. May today be the day that they step across the line of faith and put their faith and trust in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.